Good morning, everyone. Sorry about the delay. My computer didn't want to work this morning, but we should be good to go now. Welcome, everyone who's joining us. We're glad you're able to do so. Just a couple of announcements. Again, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming on Zoom. And again, we continue to adapt to technology as it likes to be sneaky and give us challenges, but we'll get through it. We're able to be together, and that's what's important. I do want to remind that everybody is muted during this, but so that way you can talk and sing along at home. I did just put the bulletin online with the link in Facebook, so if you haven't had a chance to get it, go ahead and get it now. I apologize. That was also having issues, but it is there. We have our music from Perry. Thank you for recording this and sending it to us every week. We're grateful for your talents. Again, there. Please respond with the liturgy and sing along at home. There is still power, even if it may seem like you're alone. There is power in worshiping together, even if we can't necessarily hear each other. And some people, hey, maybe you sing now and you didn't like singing in the pews. So definitely sing along. If you have any joys and concerns for prayers, go ahead and type them in the chat. Jack, did you have announcements that you wanted to do?
Yes, a number of things I probably should go over.
Okay. You're on.
Hopefully everybody received a newsletter this week. We tried to get that out with because there's a lot of information we needed to share with you. We will continue to just be doing online services during the month of May. We're following guidelines and recommendations and trying to keep everybody safe. But there will be one exception. Next week, May 10th, we are going to have a parking lot service. We're going to invite people to join us here on the church grounds, parking in the lot, staying in your cars, because we've invited Pastor Keith McDevitt to come and lead the service next week. It will be an abbreviated service, but he will be here to deliver a sermon, a message to all, and I hope you can join us. Even in that circumstance, we want to be as safe as possible. I will be wearing my mask. I will also be wearing gloves because if anyone has any offerings that they'd like to make to the church, we can collect those at that time. While we're getting everybody parked, we'll have an offering time. And also, if anybody has any orders for Scrip, if you want any of our gift cards, there was an order form in the newsletter, so you could participate in that. I know a lot of people are ordering things online right now, and if the gift cards would be a benefit to you, we can make sure we get those to you within another week. But we will be collecting all those orders on the 10th. Additional reminder, also in the newsletter, we talk about a chance to meet Pastor Keith and his wife, Jessica. We're going to have a Zoom meet and greet using the same technology we're using today. So you'll have a chance to chat briefly with Pastor Keith, who will be here in Ohio, and his wife, Jessica, who will be in Illinois. Jessica is due to deliver their first child in July, so we want to make sure she is as safe and protected as possible, so she will not be joining us here at the church. She'll be staying at home. But this is an opportunity. We will send everybody an email notice of how you can join that meeting through Zoom. So look for that email, and hopefully using the same technology we're using today, you'll all have a chance to meet and chat with Pastor Keith before his presentation on Sunday. After the service, we will be having a brief congregational meeting. The sole purpose of the meeting is to vote yay or nay on the call of Pastor Keith. There's ballots that were included in the newsletter, so bring those with you. Bring something to write with so you can cast a vote yay or nay for the call of the new pastor. And we'll need at least 30 people here to have an official meeting. So hopefully we can get a number of people to participate next week, and we'll look forward to seeing all of you. We will do this as safely as possible and as briefly as possible, but it is pretty necessary business. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Let me go ahead and pull up the call to worship, and I invite you to take a deep breath, light your candle if you have one with you at home, and join us in the call to worship.
We will begin. When the light of today dims into the horizon,
God will accompany us into tomorrow.
As our health wanes and our hope lessens,
God will fill our lives with new possibilities.
As loneliness overtakes our hearts,
God's embrace will fill us with comfort.
In these long days facing the unknown,
God's peace will last with us into eternity. And now let us pull up our first song. It's He Lives. The words are in the bulletin. Unfortunately, I can't share them. Maybe somebody else can, because I need to share the music. Jim, is that a possibility for you by any chance?
I'll try.
Okay. Sorry for the, it just occurred to me that. And now let us join in singing He Lives.
Thank you.
And if everyone will join us in the prayer, I can pull it up. Give me a second. Okay.
Our invocation today, Holy Winds of Hope, as we continue in uncharted territories, may your breezes nudge us to look around us. As the wilderness surrounds our souls, may we still see your presence in the flowers in front of us, with our kin sheltering with us, and in the star-filled sky above us. We need not seek far. We can sense you in the voices echoing on phone calls and video chats. With gratitude, we share our joy that you are near, today and always. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Since you call upon a Father who judges all people according to their actions without favoritism, you should conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your dwelling in a strange land. Live in this way, knowing that you are not liberated by perishable things like silver or gold from the empty lifestyle you inherited from your ancestors. Instead, you are liberated by the precious blood of Christ, like that of a flawless, spotless lamb. Christ was chosen before the creation of the world, but was only revealed at the end of time. This was done for you, who through Christ are faithful to the God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. So now, your faith and hope should rest in God. As you set yourselves apart by your obedience to the truth, so that you may have genuine affection for your fellow believers, love each other deeply and earnestly. Do this because you have been given new birth, not from the type of seed that decays, but from seed that doesn't. This seed is God's life-giving and enduring word.
Thank you, Jack. Before I read our next scripture, we've switched to the Gospel of Luke. And though we have been in Easter here in our time for possibly, depending on how you feel during the pandemic, for what feels like ages, our scripture today from Luke takes us back to the same day of the resurrection on what we know affectionately as Easter Sunday. The women have been to the tomb and just came back to the disciples and told them. And then we have our scripture from Luke. And this is a scripture that's unique to Luke. It comes from chapter 24. Verses 13 through 35, and it is the CEB, the Common English Bible Translation. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the woman said. They didn't see him. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. The reading of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me switch screens. There we go. So I know I said last week that the Thomas scripture is one of my favorite Easter stories, but this scripture is also one of my favorite resurrection appearance stories in the Gospels, because I kind of think of it as humorous at first. There's humor in the irony of the walk. When Jesus first approaches the disciples and asks what they're talking about, I imagine Cleopas's reaction is more of a, "Really? You haven't heard about what everyone in Jerusalem is talking about?" I hear him saying maybe in his head, "What, were you born under a rock? Were you born yesterday?" Of course, we reading the scripture now can look with 2020 vision and know they're talking to the resurrected Jesus. And initially we read it, or I read it, and I laugh at them. It's kind of funny. It makes me think of what I appreciate in situational comedies as well, when the characters themselves don't know what's going on, but we do. And we watch them stumble through the mishaps, and then it all turns out, everybody recognizes everybody, and it's a happy ending, right? First thought always goes to Twelfth Night and Shakespeare. Shakespeare was one of the best at doing this. And our scripture today definitely has characteristics of a comedy, including what you might call a feel-good happy ending, because Jesus is alive. But if we look at it as just a comedy of mistaken identity, where we know the truth the whole time, we diminish the other emotions in the story. We miss an opportunity to put ourselves in the place of the disciples and learn from it. On this journey, Cleopas and the other disciple are feeling anger, confusion, sadness, grief, even a bit of betrayal. They've lost their hope. They've put their time and energy into following this prophet, placed their hopes for Israel's rebirth in his hands, and nothing has changed. Not only did he not overthrow the Romans, they killed him. And now the last straw is that his body is gone. As much as we want to laugh at the fools who don't see that Jesus is with them, I'm sure we've all been there at some point. Maybe even within the last couple months. Angry at God, confused about our purpose in life, losing hope in the church, losing hope for the church, scared of what this world seems to be turning into. Grief over things that we cannot control. Grief only events that we are not able to participate in. Grief for loved ones. Though the text does not say what exactly kept the two disciples from seeing that it is Jesus with them, it's easy to imagine that their hurt, anger, and confusion and sadness from the past 3 days has made them less aware of their surroundings. I don't know about you, but I've been less aware of my surroundings as it becomes familiar, not only of surroundings, but of timing of what day it is. Thank goodness for alarms to help remind me what day it is. When we look just at maybe what we've been feeling over the past couple months or throughout our lives, when we place ourselves in the shoes of the disciples in this text, we see how easy it can be to not recognize Jesus, even when he's standing right in front of us. Even though today we continue to celebrate Easter and the resurrection, on some days we feel like we are still back in the tomb, just as hopeless and helpless as we were on Good Friday, which I think these disciples were definitely feeling in this scripture. When we place ourselves in the story, suddenly it doesn't feel so funny. And the two disciples don't look so foolish. Along the journey, Jesus tries to clue the disciples into who he is by explaining how the scriptures prophesied not only his death, but also his resurrection. And the disciples still don't get it. Scripture can be confusing and not always clear. I like to think there's a reason that the UCC believes in interpreting it and not taking scripture in all at once and literally. Though sometimes that leaves us wondering as well, what is God's vision for us? What is God's vision for this time? What is God's vision for this church? We are not the first to be questioning, and we won't be the last. But there is good news in identifying with the disciples. When we see ourselves as the disciples, when we recognize their obtuseness and anger, we see that the story does not end there. We can look to them and their continued actions with Jesus to find hope for ourselves. Though Jesus is a stranger to these two people, they still offer the gracious hospitality they learned following him before the cross and invite him to dinner. As theologian Molly T. Marshall says, hospitality expresses deep vulnerability. Welcoming a stranger is always risky, and the tables might be turned for good or ill. In this case, in the breaking of the bread and seeing the risen Christ, the result was definitely good. But the two disciples offered the meal before they knew the result. The table, the communion table, is where we express our love for all of our neighbors. When we gather at the communion table or at any table, we are called to offer gracious hospitality before we know what will happen. Because we never know that Jesus may be in our presence. When Jesus breaks the bread, the two disciples finally realize whom they are with. They get it. They share a meal with a stranger, a meal that transgressed boundaries and allowed Christ to appear and meet them where they are. Now, right now, we're not able to physically gather with one another at a table, at any table, let alone communion. And unfortunately, it appears this could be true for a while, even once we gather physically in the sanctuary. While we will still have communion, it will still feel more of an individual meal. And I want to take a short moment and acknowledge there is grief in this fact. Grief in not being able to physically be together and share the bread and the cup. But I also want to say that the larger idea of communion is always present. That's why we still are going to celebrate it today and have celebrated it other times digitally. Because it's not about the specific elements, but it's about us coming together in spirit. As my preaching professor at Eden said multiple times, what makes communion holy is that it is where we are open to what God is doing in the world and in our lives. Communion is holy because it is a visible sign of invisible grace. When we gather at the table over and over, whether it is physically gathering or digitally gathering, we are reminded of God's grace. And particularly when we get lost in the sadness and the grief and the anger and the confusion, communion reminds us that God will continue to help us find our way out. We can still experience this grace without being physically present. When we look at a comedy, the recognition of the stranger is usually the end of the story. But for our scripture today, for the disciples on the road, and for us listening today, the recognition is just the beginning. The disciples in this story were called to share the good news that Christ is risen. Even though it is nighttime and 7 miles away, and remember they were walking, they immediately went back to share, to Jerusalem to share the good news that Christ is risen. We are called to love our neighbor, the stranger, the outcast, the healthcare worker, the one on the margin of society, and invite them to the table to experience Christ's table of community and love and grace. It is at the communion table where we are transformed and freed to go back out into the world and bring freedom and new life to others. Now, right now, we're doing that all with social distancing and meeting digitally and wearing our masks. But we are still gathering, we are still having communion, we are still finding transformation and freedom. This is still the beginning. We are already being told that we need to find what to, sorry, not find, and the dog just distracted me, I apologize. We need to go back to normal as soon as possible. But when we think about what has happened just in these couple months, the virus, the stopping has shown us, but the constant need for more, 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 the constant need to be busy has done. We've seen the environment start to clean up, but we've also seen the importance of essential workers. We've also seen the bad sides. We've seen what happens when more takes precedent over the planet, and it takes precedent over our souls. It takes precedent over humanity. This virus has given us a chance to see Jesus in the essential workers, to see Jesus in creation, and is giving us a chance to transform, to go away from what has been normal before and lead towards hope. Lead towards transformation, lead towards being a world that focuses more on God's will of loving our neighbor. That's why we continue to do communion in the midst of digital. It's why it is and always will be important to go back to the table. When we get frustrated, when we get sad, go back to the table, feel the spirit. For at the table, we have a place to lay down our burdens, gather strength, find hope again to go back out and share the good news. Rome tried to go back to normal after Jesus. And it didn't, because we have Christianity today. This is now our chance to find a new normal, a normal given to us by God. A new normal that fits God's sacred vision to bring back things in our lives that work for us, make our lives richer, makes us happier, our kids happier, our families, and makes us truly proud of the life we live. Communion is about community, gathering strength and power. It's about God working through community, and this virus has not stopped it. In fact, it has shown us what community can do, how we can change the world. We have lowered the death number from this virus by staying at home. We have changed the world together. We can work together for the greater good. And always, when we get frustrated, when we get sad, come back to the table. Gain strength, gain grace, gain community, so that we can go back into the world and do God's work, so that we transform it to become heaven on earth. May it be so. Our pastoral prayer today is going to be a little different. It is a video. It calls it a praise song, but it's a spoken word. And it is written by Christine Walters Painter. And it comes to us through the website called The Work of the People. Let me make sure I have all the right settings.
Praise be the nurses and doctors, every medical staff bent over flesh to offer care, for lives saved and lives lost, for showing up either way. Praise for the farmers tilling soil, planting seeds so food can grow, an act of hope if ever there was. Praise be the janitors and garbage collectors, the grocery store clerks and the truck drivers barreling through long, quiet nights. Give thanks for bus drivers, delivery persons, postal workers, and all those keeping an eye on water, gas, and electricity. Blessings on our leaders making hard choices for the common good, offering words of assurance. Celebrate the scientists working a way to understand the thing that plagues us, to find an antidote, and all the medicine makers. Praise be the journalists keeping us informed. Praise be the teachers, finding new ways to educate children from afar, and blessings on parents holding it together for them. Blessed are the elderly and those with weakened immune systems, all those who worry for their health. Praise for those who stay at home to protect them. Blessed are the domestic violence victims on lockdown with abusers, the homeless and refugees. Praise for the artists and poets, the singers and storytellers, all those who nourish with words and sound and color. Blessed are the ministers and therapists of every kind, bringing words of comfort. Blessed are the ones whose jobs are lost, who have no savings, who feel fear of the unknown nine. Blessed are those in grief, especially who mourn alone. Blessed are those who have passed into the great night. praise for police and firefighters, paramedics, and all who work to keep us safe. Praise for all the workers and caregivers of every kind. Praise for the sound of notifications, messages from friends reaching across the distance. Give thanks for laughter and kindness. Praise be our four-footed companions with no forethought or anxiety, responding only in love. Praise for the seas and rivers, forests and stones who teach us to endure. Give thanks for your ancestors, for the wars and plagues they endured and survived. Their resilience is in your bones, your blood. Blessed is the water that flows over our hands and the soap that helps keep them clean each time a baptism. Praise every moment of stillness and silence so new voices can be heard. Praise the chance at slowness. Praise be the birds who continue to sing the sky awake each day. Praise for the primrose poking yellow petals from dark earth. Blessed is the air clearing overhead so one day we can breathe deeply again. And when this has passed, may we say that love spread more quickly than any virus ever could. May we say this was not just an ending, but also a place to begin.
And I will put that on Facebook as well if you want to go back and watch it. Again, sometimes words and music are more powerful, prayer than and pictures too. So I know that moves me every time I watch it. I hope that you were also able to get something out of it. Okay. We now move on to our time of giving. You are invited to continue to mail in your offering envelopes. Jim will put the link in the chat for if you would like to donate online. It's also in the bulletin. But if you'll take a moment with me and just reflect on why it's important, if you are able in this time, to keep giving. If we keep searching, keep exploring, we will notice God's presence near us. And we will detect the needs of our siblings across our communities as well. We will discern God's call of the ways we need to care for this congregation, as well as the people outside of the church's walls. This has been a time for us to seek God in the wilderness and listen to the ways that God is communicating. God and listen to the ways that God is asking us to be creative in ministry, communication, and care. What is God asking us to do next? In what ways will the gifts we contribute this week further the mission and ministry of our congregation in this time of exile? We give thanks for God's calling and for the treasures, time, and talents provided by God. I have a prayer for us to join in. With gratitude, we pray together.
Divine presence, In these times of wilderness, you shine your light upon us. You help us to realize our purpose and give us wisdom on the best ways to utilize our gifts. Open our souls to possibilities on how we can minister and share your love with our church and community, even when we are miles apart. Amen.
Christ gave us the mandate to love one another. Christ gave us the peace that we will never be alone. Christ gave us the picture that we are connected as vine and branches. Christ gave us the assurance that no one will take away our joy. Let us join in singing our communion hymn, "Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread." And also, before I play this, Jim, I think I figured out what changed. So I'm going to try and the mute this time. If you can just give me either a thumbs up or thumbs down, if you can hear the music once I mute myself, that would be great. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. I will read the one and Jack will read the many. And I will pull it up so that those of you that are watching can also see it. And we will follow that into the Lord's Prayer. God is with you.
God is with us all.
Open wide our hearts.
We open them to new possibilities.
From our dining room tables to our home offices.
This is the time to give God our thanks and praise.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our homes may be filled with young voices, or our homes may be filled with overwhelming silence. This table might be brimming with family, or we may be sitting by ourselves at an empty table. But the table is never truly empty. The silence will not be the last sound you hear. Jesus, the Christ, has created a realm of love for each of us, one in which we will be reunited with loved ones, one in which we are assured of God's comfort. It was a night filled with teachings and memories. Undoubtedly, tears were shed and laughs raised. This was the night before Jesus died. Jesus took the bread. As he blessed it and broke it, he said to his friends, "Whenever you eat this bread, eat in remembrance of me." Later, Jesus filled a cup, blessed it with, "Friends, this is the new covenant. Drink this to remember me. Drink to remember our time together." Spirit of God, surround the bread, surround the cup, surround the elements, no matter what form they take. Surround us, no matter where we are. Take and eat the bread of life. The cup of life. Please join us in our closing hymn, which we have been singing the same one again and again, because sometimes repetition helps us, makes it more meaningful. And these words feel so important right now. Join us as we sing, "God be with you till we meet again." And now I invite you to go forward into the day, go forward into the week with the strength that God has given us from the shared meal, with the knowledge that we have been freed, forgiven, and now are invited to go out and transform. Go in peace and strength. Amen.